Now we're going to start in Genesis 3. We're going to go to Joshua 7. And we're going to go to James chapter 1. So those are the three scriptures if you want to find them. Come to Genesis 3, Joshua 7, and James chapter 1. The title of the message, A Pattern to a Fall. A pattern to a fall. A pattern is what something goes by, isn't it? When I put an addition, me and my two brothers put an addition on our house. We had to make a pattern for the rafters. They didn't just go to Lowe's and get these because they were made. So we made a pattern, and then we made all the rest of those rafters to that pattern. And they fit. They all fit. They work. When I was growing up as a boy, my mother used to make my sister's dresses. She'd make their dresses. And she would use a pattern. She'd take the material, lay it out on the kitchen table, and then she'd lay that pattern on the material, and she'd cut it, and you couldn't tell the difference. She bought it at the store. She did an excellent job of it. But she used that pattern. There is a pattern to every fall. Same pattern. I'm going to show it to you. The pattern to a fall, and I want you to see it in these three places in the Scriptures. The first one, the first pattern, the rest of them follow. Of course, it happens right here in Genesis chapter 3. And I want us to see this, and maybe if we can recognize it, we can keep from falling. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall into sin. I don't want to bring reproach on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to embarrass the church family. I don't want to embarrass my family at home. I don't want to destroy my witness. I don't want to fall. And there's a pattern if we can recognize it. We can avoid it. Now, I read to you Genesis chapter 3. Let me read it again. It's short. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now let me just note a few things here, by way of observation, before we get into this. First of all, Satan is very real. He's very real, and I know you know that. He's not God, he's not like God, he's not everywhere at one time, at the same time. He's an individual angel. But he's very real. He's called in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And I think that's why Eve was probably not disturbed. I have no doubt that Adam and Eve had dealt with angels. And she was, you know, she wasn't afraid when this serpent started talking to her. We see no fear. There's no indication of fear. And then he's subtle. He's subtle. He didn't just barge in the door and announce himself. He'll quietly just slip in, sit in the back, and just start doing his work. He's subtle. Crafty. That's what that means, crafty. So much so that he would deceive the very elect of God, if possible. You see, he even takes the word of God here and quotes it, but puts a little twist on it. That's all you need. To destroy it. To twist it. You don't have truth. You know, truth is truth. With no mixture. If you put an ounce of a lie in it, it's not truth anymore. Truth is truth. Lie is a lie. And neither shall the two mix. And I want you to notice something here that I think is very important. Because he still does it today. He waited until Eve was away from her husband. I don't know how long he waited, but he waited till she was away from her husband and she walking by that tree. And then he pounced. Then he pounced. What did Christ say? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, never. It is written that when he comes, he will come with 10,000 and thousands of his saints. He's not going to leave them behind. There'll never be a time, ever be a time. Ladies, you may get a little tired of your husband being around the house after they retire. But there'll never be a time when he ever is separated for a second from any one of his children or his bride. Never. Satan waited until she had gotten away from her husband, the head, the one God established as the head. That's the order God gave. And then he moved in. I want to show you something over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Reading it this morning. Let me see if I've got the right one down. 1 Corinthians 7. Let me just read this few verses. Starting in verse 1. Now concerning the things which whereof you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That is, outside of marriage. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife has not power over her body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. Or your incontinency. He said, you come back together. If you're going to separate for a little while over prayer and fasting, or, he said, don't you stay that way. He said, you get back together because Satan will tempt you. Satan will pick the weaker one. He'll break you down. Be aware of the wiles of this serpent. Be aware of it. Now, in verse 3 here, he gets her attention. He does it in such a subtle way, he doesn't jump out from behind the bush. It's scary. It's so subtle, he just starts talking to her. And I have no doubt he starts talking to her in a soft, gentle voice. Hey, Eve. Just so gentle. Then he begins a conversation with her concerning God. And what God has said. Concerning a commandment that he said don't do. And he puts a question mark on it. He causes her to for the first time, to question, and I think also this, question what Adam told her, because you'll read in chapter 2 here, God gave the commandment to Adam, and I believe that Adam in turn gave it to Eve. And he puts a question mark on what she was told. He puts a question mark on the Word of God. He puts a little twist on it. And then the fall starts to happen. It starts downhill, downhill. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She saw for the first time. It never came to her mind before to touch that tree, have anything to do with it, until this suggestion was made. And when she stood there, she looked at it while he's talking to her. And she sees that it's good for food. I have no doubt he's standing there eating it. And nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. A desire was created. A fleshly desire. Here comes the lust of the flesh. It was created. An appetite. What's the hardest thing for you to control? What is the hardest thing to control? An appetite. Whether it's for food or for something else. When we have a strong appetite for something, it just overtakes us. You ever have a craving for something? It overtakes you. A fleshly desire was created, a fleshly appetite. She had never looked at it in that way before. There's nothing wrong with this fruit. Satan is saying that this serpent. Some have said it was a spiritual being. I don't know. But whatever it was, I think she had a lot of respect for it. And while this serpent is talking, and I believe eating, she's saying, She just quoted the commandment. That should have been enough. She just quoted it. That should have been enough. But instead, she quoted it, and then she goes, Never looked at it that way before. Nothing wrong with this fruit. She's being seduced and doesn't even realize. The sin of a look. Just look at it. Continuing to look at it. Listen to what the Lord says in Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Oh, how many have fallen by a look. Just by a look. How many times have you looked at food, just food, and said, boy, that looks good. Oh, that looks good. We had dinner down here. You go out here and you look at all that spread. That looks good. Look at that. That looks good. I wonder who made that. That looks good. Sin and a look. How many commercials? The master of advertising is Satan. He knows our nature. How many commercials do you see a day? How many commercials? I've done this sitting at the house. Ben Digby sitting at the house. And I said, man, that looks good. I'd like to have a hamburger. They make that hamburger look so good. They got me. They got my appetite. They reached in there and got an appetite. Then secondly, pleasant to the eyes. Ladies, how many dresses have you bought just because it was pretty? Pleasant to look at. Pleasing. That's what it is. It's pleasing to the eyes. God made all things good. He made all things beautiful. There's no sin. Listen, there was no sin in the fruit. That tree wasn't poison. There was no poison in that fruit. The poison in it is in us. The poison is the lust of the flesh. Oh, how much cheaper and happier life would be if you could get rid of lust. How many times have we bought something because it looked pleasant? It was so pleasing. Pleasing. And then thirdly, the tree to be desired to make one wise. Do you wish you were more intelligent? Seriously. I think just about everybody in here would say, I wish I was more intelligent. I wish I was had more of a sharp mind. Adam and Eve didn't know everything. Only God's perfect in knowledge. They grew in knowledge and wisdom. They had to grow in learning. They didn't know everything. And to know more, to be wise, a tree to be desired to make one wise. You will be as gods, equal with God. You know, he didn't say here that it would make one wise in the knowledge of God. No, you'll be as gods. What's the wicked say in the Psalms? No God for me. No God for me. I'll be God. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, it's one thing to grow in knowledge of God. It's one thing to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. To know more of Him. But to know more of good and evil. I don't want to know more of good and evil. I want to, whatever I learn of good and evil, I want to learn it from Christ and not a piece of fruit. Not from breaking a commandment. Not from going off the path. Not from being rebellious. I want Christ to teach me these things. And I want to know more of Him. They didn't know everything to know about God. It'd been one thing if their desire was to know more of Him, but it was to know more of good and evil. And then fourthly, here's the final act. She took and did it. Satan didn't force her to eat. Don't say Satan made me do it. Satan never made you do anything for me. He can tempt me. He can tempt me. I'll show you when we get to the book of James. What she did, now listen, what she did of her own free will at that time. She did willingly. You want to talk about free will? Right there it is. That's what it'll do. Every time. Even when they were innocent. Even when they had not known sin. Even when they were upright. What happened when sin came in? They fell. She didn't. The smart thing would have been for her to have done. Would have direct him to Adam. Isn't that what Christ did in the wilderness? And he quoted the Word of God and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He quoted the Word of God to him every time. He didn't get caught up in a conversation with him. She did what she did willingly. She took it and she ate it. Listen, we make a great mistake thinking we can take something, look at it, just a harmless look at it, and put it back. When it gets that far, it's got you. It's got you. And then it says, and Adam ate also. And that's when the fall happened. When the federal head of the human race, when he took, willingly, knowingly, knowing what he's doing, open rebellion against God, that was it. That was it. Here's the pattern. She saw, she looked at it, considering what God told her not to do, what she was told not to do. She desired it. It was pleasing to the flesh. She saw nothing wrong with it. It's fruit. It's good food. What's wrong with good food? She ate. That's it. I turn over to Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. In the verse, let's look in verse, to make this short, or shorter. Let's look in verse 19. Now here's the story behind this. They take down Jericho, and they are told, they are specifically told, don't take anything. Don't you take, you know, of the cursed thing. You go in there, we take over the city, but don't you take anything. And Joshua said unto Achan, because they had been searching for this problem, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw, here it is. Here the pattern is starting. I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. This all has to do with the flesh. Our Lord said in the gospel, he said, is not life more than what are we going to eat, drink, and wear? Did he say, is not life more than this? And this man causes himself and his whole family to be burned up. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I saw them. I looked at it, and he couldn't take his eyes off of them. It got him. It got his heart. He knew the command. The command was don't do it. If that's the command, then when you see it, the best thing to do is turn and leave. Then I coveted them. And then what happened? I coveted them. He said, I saw them. I coveted, I desired them. And then I took them. I took them. But you were told not to. But they were goodly. They were goodly. Goodly Babylonish garments. I needed the money. We could use that money. Spurgeon said one time, don't make a dog out of yourself trying to get a bone. Took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth. No, I'll tell you where they're hid at. Your heart. It was hid in his heart. He couldn't let it go. Couldn't let it go. They are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. And you know what they did to him? Over in verse 25, and Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." All Israel stoned him with stones, burned them with fire, him and his family, after they had stoned him with stones. Severe consequence. He saw, he looked, it was goodly. I don't see no problem with this. No problem with this. He coveted. He worshipped. When he says, "I coveted him," there was a form of worship that happened right there. He did exactly what Adam and Eve did. And then he took. The trap was set. He took it. There's the pattern. Now, let's finish this off in James chapter 1. Over here in James chapter 1. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." Don't go charging God with all this. There's a lot I don't understand, but I'm told right here, God never tempts us to sin. Never. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Ever. Now, let's never make that mistake of blaming on God. Why didn't he take this away? Why didn't he? He could have done this. He could have. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. That's exactly what happened right there in the garden. First of all, as I said, God has never tempted any man to sin. He did not tempt Adam and Eve. He said, "Don't do it. Don't do it." He allowed it. He allowed Satan to come in there. He allowed Satan to have Job. Satan said, "Let me have him. Let me have him. I'll show you skin for skin. All right. He'll deny you. Just let me have him." The Lord said to Peter, "Satan hath desired thee to sift his wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fell not." He allowed it, but he never tempted. He never tempts us to sin. Now, back in verse 12, let me just explain something here before I go on. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That temptation is a trial. That's a trial. What Ed and Debbie Sparks are going through, that's a heavy trial. That's a trial. They're called fiery trials because they hurt. Wouldn't be a trial if it didn't hurt, would it? A fiery trial. But to sin, that's different. That's different. No man say when he's tempted, that's to sin. Now it says here, every man is tempted when he's drawn away. When he's drawn away. Drawn away from Christ. Isn't that what happened? Eve walked away from Adam. And I don't know what all they, I wasn't there. I don't know what all they did. But she left Adam that day, walked through the garden by herself. Satan showed up. Drawn away. When we are drawn away from Christ, we are drawn away from wisdom. You know better than that. Drawn away from truth. Listen, every man is tempted when he's drawn away to his own lust. It's mine. it's mine. It's a lust of my flesh, not someone else. Satan cannot make me do it. He can tempt me. David never blamed Satan for his sin with Bathsheba, did he? Never did. Who did he blame? Himself. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. When I desire to take and eat, that's me. I don't need Satan for that. The lust of my flesh, it's my lust, it's my flesh, it's my sin drawing me away from Christ. As I said, you can't blame Satan for falling into sin if he's down in Florida working on somebody. He can't be everywhere at the same time. It's my sin. It's my God could kill Satan, destroy every demon, and I'd still be a devil. I don't need the devil to be a devil. I don't need him to sin. Not at all. When lust, he says, you're drawn away from your own lust, and when lust hath conceived. Ladies, what happens when you conceive? You become pregnant. When lust hath conceived, we become pregnant with ungodly desire. Can't get it off our minds. Can't do it. I know that King David could not quit thinking about Bathsheba when he stood on that balcony, watched her wash. He couldn't, he went, go back inside. He can't get her off his mind. Can't do it. Tossing, turning, night, can't wait. Can't do it. Can't get it off his mind because lust has conceived. He knew that wasn't right. He knew it. He knew it. Conceived. It's entered into you. When that happens, it brings forth sin. And all its evil. And all its destruction. And that brings forth death. Is that worth it? There's pleasure in sin for a season. Is it worth that little season for that little pleasure? Huh? Then it brings forth death. And I thought this morning. Death to joy in the Lord. David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There in Psalm 51. It's spiritual death. It's death to spiritual growth. Psalm 32, David tried to hide it. He said, I kept silence. My bones waxed old. It roared within me. You know what he was keeping silent about? that act of adultery that he did and having her husband murdered. He was not going to tell it. He's just going to just, I won't do that again. Well, not doing it again, don't put it away. Doesn't put it away. Only the blood of Christ puts away sin. Stop doing something, doesn't put it away. It's still there. Unless he puts it away. And he's the only one that can. It's death to our witness. You think anybody's going to look at you? No, David. I keep going back to him. He said, the word of God says the sword never left his house. You reckon his kids listened to him again? Evidently not. They turned out to be a bunch of rebels. How can I avoid this? How can I recognize it and avoid it? Because I can assure you, every last one of us in here is going to deal with this more than once. When it happened time. Because Satan's subtle. Always trying. Always trying. You know, the first time he came at Job, he didn't break him, did he? I don't know how much time went between that first trial of taking all of his family and all of his goods and all that he owned. That was taken away. Job retained his integrity. He blessed God. Naked I came into the world. Naked I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then that second wave came where he lost his health and all that, and his friends and his wife turned on him. You thought the first one would have been enough. But after that, Satan comes back, he goes skin for skin. Never give him. I'll give him. Let me have him, I'll give him. And then that second wave comes. How to avoid falling. And I can't give you all this. I don't have enough time. Listen, I'll give these to you quickly. Look over in James chapter 25. And when you get home, read James chapter 1, because all this can apply, but to shorten it up. But whoso looketh, where are you looking? Where are you looking? Where do you spend your time, especially in your heart? Because I know physically we have to go to work, we have to do a lot of things, but what are you really looking at? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer. Did you hear this morning? Have you been able to hear? Did you hear the word of God? He's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man should be blessed in his deeds. The perfect law of liberty is the gospel of Christ. Looking into the gospel. Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of your husband. Your real husband. The one that's going to be around forever. I'm not going to be around forever. Not in this sense. Not in this fleshly relationship. There'll be a time mine and Vicky's relationship, marriage relationship, will be dissolved. But our relationship in Christ will not be dissolved. That's going to grow. That's going to grow. And that perfect law of liberty is the gospel of Christ. Always be looking into it. Continuing in it, as it says over in Colossians 1. Absorbed in it. Always eating and drinking Christ. Nothing. Learning of Him. I'm not talking about just learning doctrine. I'm not talking about learning the 5 points of Calvinism. I'm talking about learning and having a relationship with a real living person who is Almighty God. That ought to astound us that we can know God. That ought to absolutely astound us. Here's another reason. Here's another way to avoid this. Keep close to your real husband. Keep close to it. Husbands and wives, be careful when you're apart. You're at your weakest. You're at your weakest. But keep close to your real husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be in constant communion with Him. That's real. That's real. And always beware of evil and leave it. You know, one of the things they teach you, especially in self-defense classes, you ladies, they say, always be aware of what? Your surroundings. Always be aware of your surroundings. Spiritually. Seriously now. Spiritually. Always be aware of your surroundings. First Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain, stay away from all appearance of evil. Evil companions, it says in another place, corrupt good manners. And then always be mindful of who bought you. Who bought you? You're not your own. I'm not my own. I'm not my own. You know, the Scripture tells us, ladies, you may think, if you think you got an overbearing husband, I heard Henry say this one time. Christ said, bring every thought into subjection to Him. And here's what He's saying. Subject every thought you have to Me. Now, I'm not asking. I'm too sinful for that to happen. I mean, I don't have the wisdom or the, I'm too sinful for that to, for Vicki to do that with me. Do that with me. But with Christ, who's perfect, His wisdom is perfect, His guidance is perfect, His motive is perfect. He says, subject every thought you have to Me. Every thought. Always be mindful of Him. Always be mindful of the grace of God that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Always be mindful of it. And always be in much prayer. We need to make a lot of prayer. I need to make a lot of it. Much more of it. Prayer is communion with God. It's communion with God. Talking to your real husband. You know, I think a lot of times we'd ask him, and we're the bride. The church is the bride. He's the husband. There's a lot of things I wouldn't have to ask if I can do this or do that if I just ask him. If I just lay it out before him. Then when you start to realize your motive is something, then you say, well, there's the answer. And last of all, James in verse 22 says this, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Adam, if you had just done what he said, it's just that simple. If you had just done what God had said, don't eat of that tree. Now I know in that garden, there had to be an abundance of trees to eat from. Abundance. Be a doer. What did you hear this morning? You've had the Bible in front of you. We've looked at some things. Do it. Do it. Adam had only listened, only been a doer of the word. But he did. That's the pattern to a fall. Pray God give me and you wisdom to recognize it when it comes around. You look, you desire. And it's appealing to this flesh. You think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I like, boy, that's... And you take it. And the next thing you know, David, I'm the king. Solomon said, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? No. Pray God give us wisdom to stay close to Christ, be obsessed with Him, learn of Him, call upon Him for direction and guidance and protection. What does the Lord say in the prayer, the disciples' prayer, lead us not into temptation. Don't let us go, or don't let me go in a situation that is going to be harmful, spiritually harmful. He says to pray that. And keep us what? From the evil. Who is that? That's the evil one. Keep us from the evil one. You won't see him coming, I promise you. You won't see it coming. But with our spiritual wisdom, you can detect it.